Well, thank you, Richard. Paul, a fascinating discussion last hour. It continues because next up, Dr. Michael Sala on Coast to Coast AM. Dr. Michael Sala, he's a pioneer in the development of exopolitics. He's the author of several books and has a PhD in government from the University of Queensland, Australia. Dr. Sala is the founder of the Exopolitics Institute, a not-profit organization that analyzes the political implications of the extraterrestrial presence. Here he is now. Hey, Michael, how are you?
Good to be back.
Good to have you with us too, my friend. What's new with you?
Working busily on the upcoming conference. Paola mentioned she's coming to Hawaii at the end of this week. She's actually going to be one of the key presenters at the Earth Transformation Conference we're having here on the Big Island from May 16th to 18th. So I'm pretty busy organizing that.
We've got a lot of friends out there. Lots of friends out there, Michael.
More coming out all the time. Hard keeping up with her.
Absolutely. Hey, what's your take on the Vatican? This somewhat of an announcement that, the possibility of alien life isn't all that bad, that doesn't contradict their faith.
Well, I think it's a very significant development. Paola Harris mentioned that previously Corrado Balducci had kind of floated that idea that aliens were not something that would challenge the Vatican's theological position. But he was a retired Monsignor, which is a priest who has been honored by the Pope, and he was an advisor to Pope John Paul II, and he spoke at a number of venues about the presence of extraterrestrial life not being a challenge to Vatican theological principles. But what we have with this announcement is that now it's gone up to an official level where you have Jose Funes, who's the chief astronomer for the Vatican Observatory there in Rome, actually saying that the existence of extraterrestrial life and that they could be our brothers is something that is consistent with the Vatican theological position. So that is a very significant development. And I think what is very interesting about this is that it follows on the heels of this development at the United Nations in early February.
That we talked about, that's right.
And what was important was that at that meeting, it was decided that in response to the increased number of UFO sightings around the world, that the 30 countries that were represented at that meeting confidentially agreed that they would implement a policy of openness, that this was going to be a significant change from the earlier policies that we've seen here in the US and elsewhere of debunking automatically UFO reports to one of openness, whereby the reports would be considered on their face value. And I think that what we're seeing here with the Vatican position being made clear at an official level that extraterrestrial life doesn't challenge theological principles, with the UFO files being released by the British government and by the French, that we are moving into this new policy phase of openness. And that is very significant because it means that there's just going to be much more official interest in all of the evidence which has been sitting there for many decades without being analysed or evaluated in any way. And so, for example, with the British files that are being released, I mean, these are files dating back decades, and they're just observations. There's no analysis, evaluation attached to those files. And so what will happen now with this openness policy is that a lot of this data is going to be officially analyzed, and that's going to be very interesting.
Why does the United States appear to be one of the last bastions for openness?
Well, the United States has the most to lose in many ways because it has been the leading agency or country when it comes to secrecy over...
And denial.
And denial, because they have run the black projects. They have had, according to some estimates, projects that have been funded by a black budget of close to $1.7 trillion a year. And that means that if this was ever exposed, the American public would never stand for it. I mean, how would the American public feel if they understood that the CIA had been secretly amassing funds from various different sources to the tune of $1.7 trillion or something in that figure? I mean, the American public wouldn't stand for it. So the American secret agencies have had the most to lose if these were ever exposed.
Okay, back to the Vatican a little bit in this UN meeting. Who do you think was the one who pushed the softening here?
Well, at the United Nations meeting, it was an agreement by all the countries there that they would move forward with this new policy of openness. Now, one of the participants at that meeting was an archbishop, Archbishop Celestino Miglior, who is the permanent papal representative to the United Nations. So I would think that he went back and he reported to the Vatican what had transpired at that meeting. He had reported back that the major nations were in agreement that there would be this new policy of openness. And, of course, the Vatican would see this as an opportunity to play a leading role. Because, I mean, the Vatican has a lot of negative PR to overcome. I mean, many centuries of persecuting scientists. You've had the scandal over the priests and the sex scandals there. So the Vatican has a lot of negative PR to overcome. So I think openness on the extraterrestrial issue, UFOs, would be something that would help the Vatican overcome this and actually project it into a kind of forward-looking position. And I think this is why you're getting this kind of positive initiative from the Vatican. They're coming forward saying things like that the presence of advanced extraterrestrial life doesn't challenge theological principles at all, and that, in fact, that that the extraterrestrials may be without original sin. In other words, that they can be advanced, benevolent beings that can help us, that we don't have to be frightened of them. And I think this is a very constructive position to take, because it means that the Vatican, because it does have a tremendous influence over a billion Catholics in the world, it can play a great role in kind of making people feel more comfortable that these extraterrestrials, when and if they appear over skies, are not something to be feared. We're not talking about Independence Day extraterrestrials here to kind of gobble us up in their kind of galactic imperial quest. That these are beings that are without original sin, not as highly evolved as angels, but without original sin. And there's a very important theological principle for why that is so, and I can explain that if you want.
Sure, and I think you're right, Michael. I mean, I think that the Vatican, the Church, has been riddled with scandal over the years. And to come forward with something like this, to talk about science and its involvement, I think it really does kind of take some of the pressure off, so to speak, doesn't it?
It does, because it does present the Vatican in a very positive light, that here is a very old institution plagued by all these scandals, but yet they are taking a very positive role to disclose the truth, get people ready for the announcement that extraterrestrial life is real. And I think the Vatican is also very cleverly positioning itself for what will follow an official announcement that extraterrestrial life is real. And that is because the Vatican theological position on extraterrestrial life, as was announced by Jose Funes and also by Corrado Balducci, was that extraterrestrials are probably without original sin, but they are less evolved than the angels. And what that means is that extraterrestrials, because they are without original sin, means that they did not have a need for Christ to incarnate. But humans, because we were born with original sin, we had to have Christ born here so that through vicarious atonement we could be saved, and therefore in the afterlife we can go to heaven. And what that means is that the incarnation of the Christ and the crucifixion of the Christ is unique to Earth. So that means that the Vatican is positioning itself for a galactic crusade. So how's that? That the Vatican is positioning itself so that it can send off its Jesuits and other missionaries to other planets, preaching the gospel that the crucifixion of Christ is unique to Earth.
You think it is, though? It may be throughout the entire universe.
Well, that is the theological position that Corrado Balducci and Jose Funes have stated, with this belief that the extraterrestrials are born without original sin. And that is very different to humans who are born with original sin and needed.
I wonder if they're angels, Michael.
Well, and that's another thing. Corrado Balducci said that they're less evolved than the angels, which means that they are not Christ, that they are not the messengers of God. In other words, that humans, because we have had this experience with the Christ, are uniquely positioned to be able to give this message of salvation and redemption through this Christ incarnation on earth, which is unique to earth.
Michael, the Vatican has done some work, or I believe they may know something about the possibility of ancient extraterrestrial life here on this planet. Why is this still being hidden?
The Vatican has a library which has been accumulating evidence of all sorts of secret doctrines, philosophies, teachings, witness sightings throughout its history. And what you will find in the Vatican Library is a lot of information about ancient reports of extraterrestrial sightings. I mean, you can go back to the Roman Empire to see reports of extraterrestrial sightings. There are many historic texts, not only from the Christian Judaic tradition, but also from the Vedic traditions, that would also be studied very intensely in the secret Vatican archives down there in their library. So the Vatican is sitting on a storehouse of ancient evidence dating back thousands of years concerning extraterrestrial life. And this is something that really needs to be considered in terms of just how much information they have been withholding from the general public for many, many centuries, let alone the 40, 50 years that the U.S. government has had some very important information on extraterrestrial life.
Michael, what do you think of the timing? The British release of its confidential UFO files, the Vatican statement, NASA tomorrow, which may be just a general science news conference, who knows? But what about the timing of all this?
Well, I'm not surprised at all, because I've been studying the developments concerning the secret UN meetings that occurred in February, and slowly the news is being leaked out that these meetings did occur. They have been confirmed by various sources, and we look at some of the participants that were named attending that those meetings. One was the Vatican Archbishop that I mentioned, Millior. Another was Sir John Sawyers, who is the British permanent representative to the United Nations. He was also attending that meeting, and he was present when this new policy of openness was agreed. So I am not surprised at all that the British government is going to be playing a positive role on this issue, because the a release that the British government has just made is really letting out a lot of information that has been kept secreted away at the Ministry of Defence, and it's going to be now available for detailed analysis by scholars and researchers, and they're going to be able to make more breakthroughs in exactly what has been seen in British skies. And I think this is all part of a general trend of openness, official openness, to get the public primed. Richard Hoagland was talking about his time-released Aspirin curve, and I thought that was quite cute, because that is, in fact, where we are now. I think we're in this phase of information being released in a way that can be absorbed by the general population, that isn't going to cause any panic, because that was one of the conditions that actually was stated at the UN meetings in February 12 to 14, that there were two conditions. One was that the UFO sightings would continue at the present level, which indicated that this policy was being externally driven. In other words, that the extraterrestrials themselves were showing up frequently enough to force a policy change in the major governments. And the second condition was that the liberal democratic systems in major countries and developing countries would not be threatened in any way by this new change of policy towards openness.
Well, Michael, it's coming up close, isn't it? It's happening.
I think we are at this unique point in our history as a civilization, where we are going to go from being an insular, doubting civilization of anything out there, to one where we are now aware of extraterrestrial life and welcome them, and actually begin to learn exactly what is out there, what level of technology they have developed. One of the things I'm going to be doing at the upcoming conference here in Hawaii, the Earth Transformation Conference, I'm going to be talking about some of the work of a Soviet astronomer Nikolai Kardashev, and his work was popularized by Michio Kaku concerning the typology of extraterrestrial civilizations in terms of the energy that they use. So you can look at extraterrestrial civilizations in terms of either being type zero, using fossil fuels, limited resources as we use, to type one, where they use resources at a planetary level, type two, using resources at a stellar level, and then type three, using resources at a galactic level, that extraterrestrial civilizations will have gone through that curve. So some of them that are visiting us probably going to be, will be definitely type zero, type one. Others visiting us are going to be type two, type three, which means that, you know, we can pick and choose who we want to work with in terms of how evolved they are. And that I think is going to be a really fascinating exercise for all of us as we learn exactly how evolved the extraterrestrials are.
Michael, I'm going to keep you around next half hour with Alfred Weber, and then possibly phone calls with you later on as well. Your work over the years in this arena, I think, is also finally getting recognized. Do you feel that?
Definitely. I think many people were initially very skeptical of the whole idea of looking at the public policy implications of extraterrestrial life. They were saying, well, the data isn't conclusive. It's only when we have indubitable data that can't be controverted. Only then should we begin to speculate or look at these policy implications. But I've been arguing all along that we're not going to have that kind of incontrovertible level of proof just because of the nature of the system or the problem that we're dealing with. And so I've been doing and encouraging the public policy analysis of all of the data, which is why developments like the UN meetings, developments such as we have here with the Jose Funes coming forward with this new position that the Vatican has on extraterrestrial life, that we need to look at these public policy implications of all of this and not wait for the day when ETs show up or when the president makes his official announcement from the White House.
Do you think this NASA announcement tomorrow is going to be anything grand in terms of maybe they've pulled some folks from SETI out to say, we heard something?
Well, I didn't hear of any NASA involvement at the UN meeting, so I would be skeptical that NASA is going to come out with anything groundbreaking. I think what's happening is that other countries, Britain, the Vatican, and especially the French, we can talk about the French later, the French are playing a very powerful role in pushing this forward. So I think we're probably going to see this coming from other countries rather than US agencies like NASA. But I would be very pleasantly surprised if something does emerge tomorrow.
Michael, if people want more information on the things you do, how do they find your website? What is it?
They can just go to exopolitics.org, or they can go to the earthtransformation.com for the latest in terms of this conference that I'm involved in and where I'll be speaking this coming Sunday.
Why is it happening so quickly? The feeling that we're beginning to learn something about this entire phenomenon?
Well, I think just the information age, just the level of evidence that is now being circulated and the number of people that are passing along high-quality photos and videos on YouTube and through their various chat groups and online forums, that I think it's reaching a critical mass where now enough people believe that this is real, that previously it was something that they could dismiss because they didn't have any personal experience. But so many people are now having their own direct personal experiences or hearing about the personal experiences of close friends or relatives that they trust, and they can't dismiss this any longer. And I think also the extraterrestrials themselves are driving the process by appearing more often in the skies. And I think that is a very important factor, and that was something that I think was driving the UN meetings.
All right, Michael, up next with you, Alfred Weber. Groundbreaking work as a futurist at the Stanford Research Institute, but back in 77, he directed a proposed extraterrestrial communication study. He's next. We're going to continue our special report on the Vatican statement that they believe that aliens just don't contradict faith at all. It's a great story. We'll be back with Alfred Weber, who's joining Dr. Michael Sulla next on Coast to Coast AM. Alfred Weber, he's done groundbreaking work as a futurist at the Stanford Research Institute, where in 1977, directed a proposed extraterrestrial communication study project for the Carter White House. Alfred is currently the international director of the Institute for Cooperation in Space, and here he is joining Michael Sala. Hello, Alfred. How are you? Welcome back.
Yes. Thank you very much. I'm very, very happy to be here.
Well, you know, your expertise is so important, especially, Alfred, to react to the story about the Vatican simply saying it's okay to believe in aliens. You know, I think back to my days and my catechism days. I don't think they ever would have said this 30 or 40 years ago, ever. And here they come out with a statement. Why the change, in your opinion?
Yeah. You know, George, I'm really glad you said that word catechism, because I think you hit the nail right on the head with a hammer. Today, and this is crucial, and it ties into what Dr. Michael Sala, my colleague, was saying, today is the 91st anniversary of the first major UFO encounter of the 20th century, which occurred on May 13, 1917, and we know that as the Fatima miracle. And that's a very, very key event in the Catholic Church, which was supposedly that the Virgin Mary appeared to three Portuguese children. We now know from a series of groundbreaking books called the Fatima Trilogy, written by several Portuguese scholars, edited by Andrew Paschago in Anomalous Books, that these, in fact, were UFO encounters, which are covered up by the Catholic Church. Today, May 13th, 2008, is the day that the Jesuit head of the Vatican Observatory chose to release this news. And I don't think that that is an accident, because the Catholic Church is a 2,000-year-old institution. And it is now having to cope with the inside knowledge with the fact that it's been selling to the public UFO encounters as Virgin Mary miracles. And they've known from the inside that they've been UFO encounters for a long time. And we know that from the scholarship, because the archives which were revealed in this book show that the inside documents what the Catholic Church knew said that there were spinning saucers, that there were falling angel fare, that there were small extraterrestrial beings running around. There were auditory effects such as you see at ET encounters. And yet they sold this to the public on May 13th, 1917 and forward as the Fatima miracle. And then in the 1960s, the Fatima became the major anti-communist miracle. Mm-hmm. And then Pope John Paul II, after he was shot and he took the bullet from his stomach, and he took that bullet and he put it in the crown of the Virgin of Fatima at the actual Fatima grotto there. And so there's been this worship, and yet the documents from the inside, going back to 1917, they knew that it was a UFO encounter. So the Catholic Church, like the Communist Party, has a great problem here. And they're seeking to do it with great finesse to kind of begin to leak to the public, well, folks, maybe it wasn't the Virgin Mary, and we're going to leak it to you slowly, and we're going to tell you that eventually that it wasn't the Virgin Mary, that it was a series of small extraterrestrial beings that we've been selling you since 1917 was Fatima. Now, what seems to have, Michael was quite correct, what seems to have driven, for example, the reported February 12th UN UFO meetings was the January 8th, 2008 Stephenville UFO sightings, where a one-mile-wide craft, right, George, which we all know is reported on Larry King Live, et cetera, glided over Stephenville, Texas. the driving motive here, I think, drove this Vatican statement, and there's a connection here, because the Vatican Observatory has two locations. One is in Casa Gandolfo, mm-hmm. But the other is in Arizona.
That's right. We just talked to a Jesuit priest who's one of the astronomers out there.
Yeah, yeah. And so this relates to, George, the Phoenix red lights of April 21st, 2001, which were in the formation of the famous March.
1997, Phoenix lights, because it's been 10 years now.
No.
Another one?
Yeah, there were the March 13th, Phoenix lights, March 13th, 1997,
okay.
Of a 2-mile-wide spacecraft. But then on April 21st, 2008, the Phoenix lights reappeared.
Right.
And jets were the same thing that happened back in March 13, 1997, happened where jets were launched out of Luke Air Force Base. There were multiple sightings. It was on all of the Phoenix television stations. There are a couple of people that said, oh, we launched balloons, we launched flares.
Lanterns.
Yeah, lanterns. These hoax stories were quickly dismissed. We went and applied what we called the context communication theory of extraterrestrial communication, which was launched back in the 70s, and that theory holds that all UFO sightings, which are extraterrestrial in origin, are actually meaningful symbolic communications from a higher intelligence source. They're like dreams from your subconscious to your conscious mind, i.e. they're a form of symbolic meaningful communication. Well, if we look at what was occurring on April 21st, 2008, you're involved in that, George. Actually, there was a very important exopolitics press conference occurring on that day at the National Press Club.
Exactly.
In Washington, D.C., at which an initiative for civil society organizations announced an initiative at the United Nations to implement the 1978 UN General Assembly decision, which mandated the UN to open a Department of Unidentified Flying Objects, and which asked all member nations to open up research projects on extraterrestrial life, which is what France has been doing, England has been doing, Mexico, Brazil, etc.
Alfred, do you think the Pope's visit to the White House and the UN before these announcements, do you think that is coincidental?
Yeah, I think that this Pope is very much involved and has given the executive decision to move forward on all of the disclosure initiatives,
mm-hmm.
and that these are closely coordinated. This is my conjecture, that it's closely coordinated, it would appear, for example, with the Office of Naval Intelligence, because in the same way that ONI seems to have reacted so quickly to the Stephenville sighting of January 8th, 2008, by scheduling the February 12th reported meetings at the UN, the Vatican seems to have moved so quickly with the Arizona based meetings, sightings of April 21st, 2008, right next to its Vatican Observatory, with this latest announcement today, the 91st anniversary of the Fatima miracle / UFO UFO sighting, which it, namely the Catholic Church, is going to have to do some mighty fancy footwork to explain away to its constituents as to why it sat on that data for 91 years.
That's a good point. Alfred, so, great perspective there.
Great
perspective.
Yeah. So these are very exciting times. And yes, I think that there is a close connection between, for example, the Democratic primary and the process that is occurring at the UN and in the Vatican Church. It may well be that this U.S. presidency may well be the disclosure presidency. If we look at the Clinton, it is very difficult to tell who the eventual nominee is going to be. It may well be what they call a dream ticket, but what we have in Hillary Clinton is an extraordinary person who, even in her high school years, wanted to be an astronaut, who has been a champion of space travel, and who was, we now know from documents, was the point person in the Clinton White House from 1993 to 1996 on the extraterrestrial issue, to try to have her husband be the disclosure president, which he couldn't do. He finally said, look,
He tried.
Now, with regard to Obama, there have been some people now through kind of the internet grapevine suggesting that he is in fact a contactee and da da da. But there's no objective evidence of that. But from the context communication theory of extraterrestrial communication, if I could just take a moment,
sure, please,
to look at what I think is a very important UFO sighting, and that's the November 7th, 2006, Chicago O'Hare sighting, in which a UFO described somewhere between 20 and 60 feet wide came down upon United Airlines gate C-17 about 4:30 in the afternoon of November 7th, 2006. It was witnessed by about 12 of the United Airlines ground crew, by the pilot and by the co-pilot, who radioed it to the air tower. The air traffic controllers heard about it. The FAA personnel. It was reported widely throughout the media, and there's a great deal of confirmation about it. And I've had a United Airlines pilots come up and talk to me who have said that they have landed at gate C-17 and that the air traffic control, that the ground crew there are excellent and are excellent reporters of fact. Now, the exopolitical significance of this, I believe, from a context communication point of view, is that November 7, 2006 was midterm election day in the United States. And that was the day that the neocons lost control of both houses of Congress. They lost control of the Senate, and they lost control of the House. And I can remember at that point, because as a civil liberties attorney, we were very concerned at that point of the possible imposition of martial law in the United States. The Military Commissions Act had just been passed.
Right, and that's still a danger, Alfred. It really is.
Yes, but at that point, there was a safeguard brought in that the control of the House and of the Senate passed to the Democrats. So if there was sort of a safeguard put in. And from a context communication point of view, if you take that sighting as sort of a dream, like you would take a dream dictionary, it's saying the extraterrestrials behind that are saying, look,
elections are very important. Get into the democracy. It's in Chicago, in Illinois. That's Obama. And Clinton is also from Chicago.
She
grew up in Chicago. So what do we have now? We have a Democratic primary that has gone on and has revived the body politic of the United States.
Now, we still really don't know, Alfred, who's going to win.
Oh, right. But that almost is not the point. The point is that after the 8 years of the George W. Bush administration, which has really battered the U.S. body politic, we now have a revival of it because of the dynamics of the Clinton-Obama competition. And I've been positing them almost as a yin-yang. And if they come up as a dual in a joint ticket, which we don't know yet, they could possibly be in this mix of the Vatican and the Office of Naval Intelligence and the British and kind of this open policy. They could be the power that finally breaks open the American disclosure gate.
That would be interesting, Alfred, though, however, in the campaign, none of them will talk about this.
Right, right. The one who did is when they put the question both to Dennis Kucinich,
right,
and to the governor of New Mexico.
Right.
And then when they came to Obama, Obama spun it away, and he said, I don't really know if there's life out in the universe, but we have to take care of our things here at home. And some people say that he has a political style of deflecting away on questions that he knows about, but if he believes that it may be impolitic for him not to take a position, he will deflect away to a more politic position so that he may have a private position on the ET issue, but he may believe that it's not ready to come. It's not time yet to come out on that.
What's your gut tell you, Alfred? Are we going to get disclosure soon?
I think that we're coming right up to it. We've had disclosure in every part of the world, I think, as Paula was saying, except the U.S. And so I think that a Clinton-Obama ticket, if we could somehow, you know, do that, may have the firepower, if it does get into office, where we as a body politic can put enough pressure on those two to blast open those gates.
Well, I would like to see that. I would like to see that. Alfred, thank you for coming on. And Michael Sala, thanks for holding on, because next hour we've got you and phone calls, so we will be doing that in just a moment right here on Coast to Coast. Alfred's website is peaceinspace.net. I'll be back.